Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don McLean is performing at the Uncle Sam Jam at Lafayette Park in Jefferson Parish. And we're going to talk to him in just a moment. There are a number of bands out there. You might see a young performer, young artist that is going to go on to become huge because they're introducing some new talent out there. But Don McLean is the huge headliner at Uncle Sam Jam for 2025 at Lafayette Park. He'll be performing later, so still plenty of time to get out there. And Don joins us on WWL. Don, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, Don, you and I talked a couple of years ago, and I want to ask you a question. Now, which would be bigger? If you had a dollar for every time somebody asked you, what is that song really about, or your royalties, which would be bigger?
Royalties.
Okay. But you would get a lot if you got a dollar for every time somebody asked you about what that song is about. That would still.
I don't talk to that many people. That's why I know the royalties would beat it.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel kind of honored. Hey, Don, listen, it's great to have you in New Orleans, and I know people looking forward to seeing you at the Uncle Sam Jam. But look,
we got a great band. I'm telling you that right now. And I know people down here love their music, so they're going to hear it.
That's great. Look, the last time you and I spoke, you told me about delivering papers, and you told me about the story, the real story behind the lyrics of, you know, you reading about the day the music died, the day the plane crashed that killed Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. Can I get you to tell us that story one more time?
Yes, I'll be happy to tell you one more time, but I would also like to tell the listeners out there that if they have any real interest in all this stuff, that they should get hold of a documentary called The Day the Music Died, The Story of Don McLean's American Pie. And you can hear it on Amazon, you can buy it on Amazon, and you can hear it on Paramount Plus. It's a 2-hour documentary, and I actually learned things about writing this song that I didn't realize. And wow. The seeds of this song were in my head from the day that Buddy Holly died, when I was a paper boy, right up until 1970 or so, when I finally found a way to incorporate that into the beginning of the song American Pie, which is not only about Buddy Holly and his plane crash. It's about many, many things that happened in the 1960s. Which still are unanswered and unresolved. So one of the nice things is that when kids hear the song, they ask questions, you know, about what went down in those years. But it was very simple. I saw this, had the papers, and I cut them open, and I saw the front page that somebody that I really, really loved had died, and it was a very bad experience for me. And all those years I kept that, until one day when I was living in upstate New York, and I was trying to write a big song about America. I started out and I just said, a long, long time ago, right through to the day the music died. And so that's how it happened.
But, Don, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, I had a similar experience long before there was, you know, the social media that we have today. I had gone to bed early because I was doing the morning show, and I woke up and I bought a newspaper right before going into the station, and I opened up the newspaper, and the headline was that John Lennon had been killed, and I didn't hear the announcement on Monday Night Football that night. And so I can't help but think about how you were alone in the dark early morning hours as a paper boy, and there you were standing alone, and you got that shocking news that Buddy Holly was dead.
Yes, and believe me, it had a very powerful effect on me. And when I went to school and told my friends, I was in the junior high school, I guess, they didn't even care. Rock and roll was not important in those days. It was kids' music. And only later on, and partly I think because of the success of my song, did people start to turn around and realize how much they love this music. And right after American Pie came out, a lot of radio stations went to a 50s and 60s format so that you could hear this music all the time.
Don, when you were writing the song, first of all, did you write it on the guitar or the piano?
No, I don't play piano. I wrote it on the guitar.
Okay. When you wrote this song, did you have a sense that this was going to be the epic song that it became?
No. I did not.
So how did
I wrote
you...
the song for? I wrote the song for myself. Everything I've ever done, whether it was Vincent or End I Love You So or Castles in the Air or Crossroads or Winter Wood or any of the songs that I've written that are very, very famous, did I ever do for anybody else? I write for myself. And I'm not writing anymore. I'm not going to write any more songs, and I'm not going to make any more records. All my records are coming out on vinyl and CD. In the next 2 years, something like almost 25 or 26 albums, maybe more. And I've listened to them all. I've said everything I have to say about most everything. And I'm basically not going to do this anymore.
Don, what's a song that's a deep cut that not everybody would know about that you really want them to start paying attention to?
Well, some of the songs that I've written are not, they're not commercial, but the content is interesting. There's an album called Primetime, which is coming out now on vinyl and CD. And it would be fun for people to listen to that song because it was written back in 1978. And it was my vision, really, that everything in the future was going to come through the television or some form of screen. And and the music would be made mechanically. And so that's the idea
wow.
of the song. And,
wow.
And on that record were two other songs, one called The Wrong Thing to Do and the other called When a Good Thing Goes Bad. And the rapper Drake took those two songs and made a song called Do It Wrong, which is the most successful single he ever had. And you may not realize this, but I own 60% of that song because it's based entirely on my lyrics. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that it's not public knowledge, but it's important in terms of music influencing other artists and things like that.
It's fascinating that you, I mean, first of all, the lyrics of American Pie demonstrate that you have tremendous vision and you're able to conceptualize things. And this idea of prime time, done when it was done, and your vision was that music was going to be artificially made to some degree, that was very prophetic.
Well, you have to take a listen to it. I've been very single-minded about what I've done. I have not thought about commercial things, but I have thought about good ideas, interesting ideas that I wanted to get down, and I did that. But I've also been very lucky. You know, I was lucky in so many, many ways, and so many wonderful things happened to me. I just happened to be the right guy at the right place with the right skills. And, you know, was able to do this. Listen, I have got to end this interview now because I have to go do the sound check for our show here.
Well, that kind of sucks, but I understand.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, Don, no, listen, it's great to talk to you. And I'm going to sample I'm going to sample these other songs and I'll talk about your special on Amazon and, Paramount Plus and have a great show. And, thanks for spending time with us here and, welcome to New Orleans.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. But right. I'm serious. I have this sound check that is now in progress. I have to
Don, you're going
to
perform a lot of songs, and people are going to slap themselves on the forehead and go, I didn't know he did that song. So it's going to be really cool for a lot of people. Yeah. So enjoy
that happens
it.
A lot.
Enjoy it, and enjoy playing American Pie at the Uncle Sam Jam.
I will. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thanks, Don. Don McLean, going to soundcheck at Lafreniere Park. Kind of sucks when the interview gets interrupted with a soundcheck. But I'm going to sample these other songs because we talk a lot about things that might lend themselves to using to do things, or the other song, When a Good Thing Goes Bad. We might use those as bumper music, but we'll sample those a little bit later in the show, and we'll also play a little bit more of American Pie as we head to break here. But Don McLean is going to be at Uncle Sam Jam later on today, and the fireworks display at 9 o'clock tonight at Lafreniere Park is breathtaking. It is amazing, and you will feel patriotic, and there's patriotic music there, and you will feel great to be an American. No matter how confusing some things are, you're going to feel great to be an American by going to Uncle Sam Jam and enjoy all the music, especially Don McLean. All right, I'm Scoot. We'll go to break with this last closing segment of American Pie, and we'll be right back.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Hey, listen, you've heard this in the news for the last couple of days, and it's really, really great news. Crime is down in New Orleans. Homicides are down. Juvenile crime is down. And, I heard, I think it was on Newell's show, or maybe it was a comment from somebody who was on Tommy's show. It was an interview. And they made the comment that, the message about law enforcement being on top of crime is getting to the thug punks on the street. That they talk to each other, and the new things that are going on, like, we're going to get you and you're going to jail. That's apparently spreading, and less young people are willing to commit these crimes. The best part about this is it means that they care. It means that they're afraid of going to jail. I mean, I know it's not as bad for some people as it is for, say, you or me. And, it's kind of a family reunion in some ways for some people. But it's good to know that cracking down on crime and being tough on crime sends a message to young people. And, the young people that I met with, the five incarcerated youth at the Justice Center, man, every one of them looked me in the eye and sincerely talked about how they want to be different when they get out and they just don't want to let this happen to them again. All right. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a free for all Thursday, since this is the beginning of a long 4th of July holiday weekend, we're talking about the big, beautiful or not so beautiful bill, which just passed. We don't know what the manifestation is going to be on everybody. We do have a sense that maybe there are going to be a lot of Trump supporters who are going to be adversely affected by this. There are wealthy people who are going to benefit from this. There's good and bad in that. So, again, I guess we just have to wait and see. President Trump says this is the best legislation that has ever been passed in the history of this country. That, of course, is debatable. So if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Mandeville. Carrie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi. I just called in to remind people that this is in reaction to the guy who came on telling us how the business owners were going to make everything better, provide jobs and all of that. And it's a theory. He has this theory. It sounds logical. And it makes you say, oh, yeah, well, sure, except that we have this overwhelming evidence
yes.
of over the decades that this is not what happens, and
right.
to just acquiesce is just foolish. It's stupid to just say, oh, okay, well, let's see how that works this time.
Yeah, and I tried to bring that out, Carrie, that, you know, when the corporations, the companies, when they get a big break, they don't automatically expand. They don't automatically create jobs. Sometimes they just add that to their profits.
Yes, overwhelmingly, that is what they do. To the point that if there's a business owner, an employer of a lot of people who does something that's beneficial to his employees, who like the guy that sold his company to his employees, who was it's noteworthy. Everybody knows about it because this happened. It's an anomaly when it does happen.
Yeah.
What the norm is for them to just keep every dollar in their pockets. My other point was that all politics is local. There is nothing in this bill, in this, that will not affect people here. You or your next door neighbor or the guy who comes in to mow your lawn or the woman who checks you out at the grocery store. It's going to affect somebody. It might be affecting you. You might have a child who's in the National Guard and is in danger of being called out for enforcing these policies on the American citizens. That will affect you. It will affect your child. The nursing home situation, this Medicaid thing, is nightmarish. People have had the benefit of this support, this framework, for all of these years, and now it's wrenched away practically overnight. Places, hospitals, I just saw a notification that there's a hospital in Louisiana that's closing just peremptorily because this is the inevitable outcome. So to pretend that this does not affect us and to just say, oh, my side won, my guy won, it's so counterproductive. I ran across a little quote the other day, and I don't remember where it came from, but it was to the effect that empathy is the first thing that's lost in one of these totalitarian enterprises. When this is going on, that's the thing that goes first, and I think that might be correct. It
yeah.
might be just basic empathy. We're supposed to have a social pact here. We are supposed to be part of a society, and now it's gotten to the globe is the society. So what do you do then? That's really all I wanted to say was that all politics is local.
Yep.
And for this guy to say, well, I have a business and if I could do that, well, somebody said once that, you know, the Republican Party is full of, you know, unfulfilled millionaires or something like something like that. It was like, you know, they're going to be millionaires and billionaires, and when they are, then they won't be taxed more than they want to be. And it's just ridiculous. So that's really all
Carrie,
I have to say.
Carrie, listen, you said
I'm not
plenty.
Good at this kind of
no,
thing.
No, listen, you were great at it. You were great at it. You were concise. You're on target. And I appreciate everything you said. I'm also honored that you're listening to our show and felt like calling up and sharing your thoughts. And please do that
oh,
anytime.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you very much. I listen okay. quite often
Appreciate
when
it.
I'm in my car. And tell Ian thanks for telling me to hang on.
Okay, Carrie, thank you for hanging on
okay.
and sharing all that with us.
Okay.
You know, look, this is a great point. We had a caller earlier who was talking about how the billionaires are going to pass it on, and they're going to pass it on. They're going to help the American economy, and they're going to expand. We don't know that. And when there's a new tax, for example, or when there's a price increase, these billionaire owners and sometimes the people who are billionaires and multimillionaires who run corporations, they don't pass savings. They don't pass savings on to the consumer. Or if they're hit with a new tax or a new price increase, they pass that on to the consumers. And so there's no guarantee that the billionaire, I mean, in theory, it sounds great, but it's just a theory. And reality tells us that businesses are greedy and that businesses are not going to necessarily expand and take advantage of the tax breaks they're getting. They're going to take advantage of those tax breaks and go to the bank. And look, when rural hospitals close, and over 200 hospitals are set to be closed in Louisiana, that's what I heard. That's the last report that I read. There are a lot of Trump supporters in rural America. They are going to be directly affected if hospitals close. And this is a strong reality. So I'm afraid that people are going to be hurt by the big, not so beautiful bill. I hope that's not the case. I hope Donald Trump is right and it's the greatest thing ever. But I'm realistic and I'm concerned. Let's go to Slidell. Bree, you're on WWL. Thank you for hanging on, Bree.
Hey. Yeah, this big, beautiful bill, taken from the poor and given to the rich is what it's doing.
Well, it seems like
and
that.
I spent my 40s falling apart. Okay, for every year, it was a different, specialist I had to see. I take weekly infusions, and they cost $42,000-something a month. And I'm on over 20 medications. And I was a bartender all my life, and I did some construction on the side. And I can no longer do that. And then I have my cognitive issues. I'm on a dementia medication. I'm 53, okay? My short-term memory, I have problems. So learning something new, that's not something that, I can do. I have the physical things that are wrong with me, my back, my neck, and things like that. I spent several years depressed because my body just turned on me, and I couldn't be the person that I've always been, that outgoing person that just, and I was doing.
So are you concerned that the big, not-so-beautiful bill is going to impact you?
Well, not just me, but people like me. I've always said, as long as you're okay in your head, you're okay. But for so many years, I was not okay in my head.
Yeah.
Now, I've had to come to acceptance that I just can't do all these things anymore. And I was like,
But are you doing better now?
In my head, I'm doing better,
okay.
But my body isn't,
No,
I'm still, I can't do. And I don't know what I'd be good at doing it, what can I do? And I recently just asked myself, okay, so if I won the lottery, what would I want to do with my time? And I would want to go and go to nursing homes and stuff and visit with people who don't get visitors.
Yeah.
That's what I would want to do. I did some volunteering like that before I had kids. And but you see, I can't be consistent because I got sick right before Mother's Day, and I still had that lingering cough. It took me a good 3 weeks to pretty much get over that. Then I woke up Sunday, 101 fever,
Wow.
I don't know what I'm good at.
Hang in there. I know it's easy to say that, but that's really your only option. But hang in there, and I hope things don't turn out as negatively as they could. And I think being positive is something that really does impact our health. So try to be positive, and let's hope that this works out okay for you.
And that's what changed in me. But I don't want to be a parasite. I don't want to be on Medicaid and food stamps like I am now, like I said, I have all these issues. And I want to do stuff. I want to do something,
There are a lot of Americans who are legitimate people like you who need help. And unfortunately, in a bureaucracy, what happens is like everybody, there's a decision that affects everybody as opposed to the bureaucracy going out and trying to find the cheaters so we can get rid of the cheaters and the people who need help really get help. Bree, I have to move on. I really appreciate the call. And I suggest that you just try to be as positive as you can. can. And I really hope things work out for you. So always try to be very positive. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, we should start the campaign for socialized medicine like in Canada and England. What do you think?
Well, you know, it depends. I've never lived under socialized medicine. You know, you hear good stories, you hear bad stories about it. So, you know, I don't know. But I'd like to think that with all the money that is spent privately in this country on health care, that we could figure out a way to take that money and make the system work. You know, I would think that we could do that, but I guess we can't. And there are so many people profiting from people being sick, big pharma profiting, doctors profiting, hospitals profiting in many, many situations. And, you know, there are so many people profiting that I don't know if our system is ever going to go away. We just need to find a way to make it fair.
Yeah, I went ahead and just texted this person back and said, we already have socialized medicine, but we just have a system where it's as expensive and inefficient as possible. In American hospitals, if you show up with a bleeding tumor in your breast, you get treated. If you show up with a broken leg, you get treated. If you have any range of ailments, you are mandated to, the hospital has to treat you for that.
They'll treat you, but if you can pay, then, you know, they're going to come after you for the money. I mean, you know, when I was hit by the motorcycle on Canal Street a few years back, you know, I mean, a lot of people have their EMS service, you know, to the hospital taken care of. And it was $1,100 that, you know, I had to pay out of pocket. And since the person in the motorcycle took off, I didn't have anybody to sue. There was no lawyer I could call to get money. And I would have gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars based on what I'm seeing on television. But there was nobody to sue. So, I got stuck with that. So, you know, all of that's fine. But, you know, if you go to the hospital, yes, you're going to get treated. But if they find out you can afford to pay, they're going to come after you.
And look, I'm not saying now, and I don't think I would ever say that we should just do what Canada's doing, or we should do what the UK does, or we should do what Sweden does.
Right.
Those systems also have their problems.
They
and there, do. There are things about those healthcare delivery systems that I don't know. I don't think most of us would want to go for. It is also true at the same time that we spend more money on healthcare for worse outcomes by far.
Yep.
By far than any other, you know, industrialized modern country on the planet. Our system sucks. It sucks big time. It's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly dysfunctional. It's making us sicker year after year after year, generation after generation. Can you imagine where we would be as a society if everybody that, you know, poor Bree in Slidell, who's shoveling everything she's got into just staying alive, multiply that by 10 million, 100 million people. That's resources, time, brain power, money that people could be spending starting families, starting businesses, you know, God, whatever else we could be doing. We could be living in a much healthier, you know, dare I say, holier society than we have if we weren't just forking platefuls of cash, you know, into United Healthcare.
And we're kind of trapped because you can't run this country like a business. You can't run a city or a state like a business because there are factors involved and it just doesn't work. But a bureaucracy, by its very nature, is incompetent, is inefficient. And that's what we're stuck with. If you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to more of your calls and more of your texts.
One more thing, just to tag on to the end, that person that texted us about, you know, should we have socialized medicine like Canada and England, he texted she texted a minute later and said, I'm a heavy-duty conservative, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, there are a lot of conservatives who agree with basically what we talk about on the show. Now, listen, we believe in being everywhere. You can listen to WWL anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app, on the free TuneIn app, and now on iHeartRadio's app. Go to the iHeartRadio app, or if you're already on it, you can find WWL. It's going to be there. For local content, for the things that you're talking about, it's on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, and coming up after the news at 3 o'clock, I'm going to share with you some thoughts about this particular 4th of July. I'm optimistic, but I'm also realistic. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1971, Jim Morrison's body was found in a bathtub. He was dead. This is the way he died. He died in a bathtub. They believe it was a heart attack. No autopsy was performed on his body. His girlfriend found his body in the bathtub at their apartment in Paris. Apparently, you know, the life that he had led, his hedonistic lifestyle, had really beaten him up, and he wasn't looking good. His hair was graying, which could happen. He was overweight, and just he was in terrible, terrible shape. There are a lot of conspiracy theories out there. Some think that it was a self-inflicted coma to fake his death to his pagan ex-wife, Patricia, who was using witchcraft to send him off. And then there was a story that he was dying. He apparently had mistaken some very powerful heroin called China White. He thought it was cocaine, which he loved. He thought it was coke. It was heroin. He snorted it. And his girlfriend at the time tried to revive him by putting him in the tub. Others say that he died in the bathtub. But in any event, this is the day that Jim Morrison died at the age of 27. Some other famous rocker who died at the age of 27 died also on this day. And we'll talk about that going into the next break. I'm Scoot. The big, not so beautiful bill passed earlier. We just don't really know specifically how it's going to impact all of us. I am very hopeful that we're going to be OK. But unfortunately, I think some people are going to be impacted by this. Let's go to Gregory in Metairie. Gregory, welcome to the show. Hello, Gregory. He might have stepped away for just a moment. Let's go to David on the West Bank. David, you're on WWL.
Hey, good afternoon. I just wanted to bring up the fact that with the bill, I didn't really hear anybody mention it. If they did, I'm sorry for repeating, but
it's okay.
It's raising taxes by like more than 70% on people who make less than 30K a year, while at the same time raising the debt by trillions. It's the strangest. To me, it's just strange, like, to think in a world where you're supposed to be cutting something to save something while adding more.
Yeah.
It's like an oxymoron.
It adds to the deficit.
Yes. So it's like, what are we really doing? And then you wouldn't have as many people on Medicaid if healthcare wasn't as expensive as it is. Who can really afford it?
Well, that's true. I mean, it is very expensive. And, you know, even people who work for companies, you know, still have a lot of money taken out of their paychecks. I mean, some people work for companies where their health care is 100% paid. But a lot of people work for companies and you still get money taken out of your paycheck.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous. Like, even for me, I take an inhaler monthly, right?
Yeah.
Without insurance, that inhaler is $1,000. That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. I know. It is really, it's amazing. Well, David, I hope things work out okay for you. I appreciate the call. Have a very happy 4th, and let's go to Gregory in Metairie. Gregory, I want to take a moment to say that I've been listening to your calls for a long time now, and we appreciate your calls, and you're a good guy, and thank you for calling in.
Oh, boy. Good. You're so sweet.
Cute.
I wanted to say a few things. I like the interview with Don McLean. His best songs, however, I mean, are either Starry Night or Everybody Loves Me, Baby, What About You, which I really like. Anyway, Vincent. This song's named Vincent. Starry, starry night. Blah, 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 blah. But I didn't know that Donaldus Maximus, our El Presidente, was trying to deport naturalized citizens.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, he's talking about that.
Wow.
Yeah,
I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I mean it's horrible because that defies what he says about coming into this country the right way, and his whole mantra about the illegal immigrants is you've got to do it the right way. These people did it the right way, and he's talking about taking their citizenship away and deporting them, including Elon Musk.
I thought he was only talking about criminals, and he wants to get rid of that birthright citizenship because I was a hostile witness to that. A bunch of pregnant Chinese women would come to the States to go to college, and they'd have their babies here, so they'd have U.S. citizenship. Yeah. So that's a real thing.
If I'm not mistaken, and I learned this on Substack, Melania was not a U.S. citizen when she gave birth to Barron.
That's right.
So if Donald Trump is true to his word, then Barron would have to be deported.
Well, also, what I like to say about the big, beautiful bill.
Hang on, Greg. I just want to back up a little bit and just make a quick distinction. There we go. We have denaturalized and deported people in the past for committing crimes
or
for having lied on their citizenship applications. What we have not done since, the 1890s. Is deported people because we didn't like their politics, and that's been going on. I don't think so.
Well,
I mean, back like you know, in the progressive, Debs, he got deported because he was a socialist.
I don't want to be contrary to you, Ian. I want to find out more about this because I'm really concerned about that because people that are naturalized, they actually have a state. In this country, and I don't like that at one bit. And about the healthcare thing, I think what this big beautiful bill is doing is it's trying to rid a lot of people, over a million, they say 1.4 million, that are on this plan that they don't deserve. They haven't paid into it, or they're not even citizens.
Well, look, I get, but that's what the bureaucracy should try to find out who's cheating and go after them instead of making it a blanket decision and changing it all, cutting all these people off Medicaid because a lot of people who are on there deserve it.
Part of why Tom Tillis voted against this bill in the Senate is because it will kick people off Medicaid who are qualified.
Yes, I know.
Who are qualified for it. Not who are like, we're accidentally here, we're cheating the system, but people who are dependent on that care, who are qualified and eligible to get those benefits. They will lose those benefits, if not next year, then the year after that, or the year after that. 17 million of us are going to lose our Medicaid. That's a disaster for this country.
And Tom Tillis, a Republican from North Carolina, this week he decided he's not going to run for re-election next year in the midterms. Does that open it up for the Democrats to win a seat? Maybe. But Donald Trump threatened him for voting no on the bill. What, somebody doesn't have a right to vote no? Everybody has to agree with you? It's this bully, it's this thug mentality that is really disturbing in this country. It doesn't have to be this way. All right, on the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1969, at the age of 27, Brian Jones, original guitar player for the Rolling Stones, was found dead in a swimming pool. Now, a lot of rumors about his death. It was ruled accidental. He had high levels of alcohol in his blood. So, those people some of them just went crazy and did stupid things. He could have been really, really drunk and drowned in the pool. But, yeah, Brian Jones, another one of the 27 club members, died on this day in 1969. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. All right, coming up, I have a new reason to reinforce the theory that I have about the Idaho shooter. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, I want to share with you my feelings about 4th of July, 2025. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. It's Free for All Thursday on WWL.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.